So when we read the Rambam, we have to know that there's going to be an intrinsic difference between the Rambam's application of a philosophy and their application. The Rambam writes clearly that he's going to quote Aristotle. He discusses Aristotle, and in Mor Nebuchim he says, Aristotle could have been a great man. Aristotle was great in certain aspects. There are only three differences between me and him. But those three differences between the Rambam and Aristotle form a chasm that puts them in two different worlds. The difference between the Rambam and Aristotle is tremendous, even though the Rambam says it boils down only to 3 points. The Rambam writes that he not in the Mor Nebuchim. The Rambam writes elsewhere. He says, the rule is, Shema Emet Nimi Shamacha. Take the truth from whoever says it. And don't look at who's saying it, look at what's being said. And therefore the Rambam says, I'm willing to accept from many people, and I studied many people. The Rambam doesn't say it there, but the Rambam, we see, he says very clearly, he studied other works. All that being said, the Rishonim that followed the Rambam, and even in the Rambam's own day and age, held it against the Rambam that he studied works of philosophy external to the Torah. And the Rambam's works were burnt. The Rambam was held, call it, in contempt initially. And even later on, we find even Rishonim, who treat him with high regard, will say harsh words about the Rambam's philosophy because, as they term it, he was influenced by the external philosophy that he studied. They did not agree with the Rambam about studying external philosophy. And this is quoted, that this is said by the Rashba, and this is even quoted in the Rama. The Rama on Hilchos Shabbos also says that about the Rambam. The commentators, the Rishonim in the Rambam's time and after the Rambam, did not agree with the Rambam on this point. And it's something to think about that the Rama goes at length discussing the Rambam. And in the Darchei Moshe, his longer work on the tour, he discusses that the Rambam really, he's not too happy with the Rambam's doing that. And yet, the first line of Rama we have in Shulchan Aruch is a quote from the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim. So the rabbis appreciated what a great man the Rambam was and how great his Torah was. And even within the Mor Nebuchim, we see that they accepted much of what he said, and there were certain aspects which he went with the philosophy of Aristotle or other philosophers where they didn't accept what he said. But even within the Mor Nebuchim, we have to learn from the Rama, so to speak, Not to discard the whole book. The book is a work by the Rambam. It's a tremendous work. And even if there are going to be things which other Rishonim say we don't accept, we have to recognize that there are many things which we do accept. And not only we, I mean, who are we to accept or not accept that the Rishonim and the Achronim did accept and learn from it. We see the Ramban, as much as he disagreed with the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim, he still treats it as a great work. So, yes, in answer to the question, the Rambam did learn and does quote external sources. And at the same time, we have to know that we shouldn't necessarily learn from that. The contemporaries of the Rambam and those that followed him didn't necessarily agree with him on that. But we, Chas v'Chalila, cannot take one iota away from the honor we owe the Rambam. The Rambam was a great man, and it's worth noting that most of halacha is the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion, if we analyze the Shulchan Aruch, and this isn't my own analysis, I don't know enough to say such a sentence, but one of my Rebbeim once pointed this out to me, and ever since he pointed it out to me, I've seen it to be true in the amount, in the little that I've learned. There isn't almost a single halacha in Shulchan Aruch where the Rambam's opinion isn't present. Most often the Shulchan Aruch will paskin like the Rambam. In the instances where he won't paskin like him, he'll still almost always quote his opinion. So the Rambam, when it comes to strengths in halacha, we have to know that he is possibly the greatest strength when we're talking about the Rishonim in halacha. So that says something about what a great person the Rambam was. But he did learn and did quote from external sources.
Was his statement also considered wrong, that you should take the truth from whoever says it? I mean, like, if we get a goy to say something that's very true about Judaism, versus someone who we consider a tzaddik to say something that's maybe not so true about Judaism, whose opinion do we follow? Or is that just completely different?
It's hard to answer that question. In general, we say, listen to the truth, whoever says it. But we also say that, just like when the Rambam speaks, then there are going to be nuances where what the Rambam says is intrinsically different than someone else saying that sentence. By the same token, sometimes and often, even truisms that are said by someone who's a Rasha, who's evil, who is wicked, there are going to be nuances where who he is affects what he says. If everything that were said were just pure logic, then we'd say, Shema emet mimi she'amara. The issue is that things that there is partiality even within science. That's why it's difficult to just adopt that saying. For example, in medicine, there's a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer that God created the world, and within the world he created different people and different tendencies within people, and God created Jews not only spiritually different but physically different as well. So the Chasam Sofer says that not all medical research that is applicable to non-Jews is applicable to Jews. We won't accept every piece of medical research and say, yeah, that's true, that's how we'll treat it in halacha. Sometimes we'll say, no, that medical research was done by a non-Jewish party on non-Jewish people, and Jews have different sensitivities. For example, the Gemara says, non-Jews, because they eat non-kosher food, so if they eat vermin, it won't harm them because their body has become immune to the harm of eating vermin. Jews who have never eaten vermin, they are affected. I have a friend whose father, one of the guys here told me this, I don't remember who, someone told me this, that their father needed to do research on the effects of pig on the liver. And they wanted to see, I think it was pig, they wanted to see how the enzymes affect the liver. So they needed people whose livers never touched pig. So his father, being a Jew, said, oh, I can get you a bunch of specimens for that. And he dialed into Bnei Brak and said, we need specimens, we need volunteers to get this and this, to do this and this test. So they weren't fed pig, but they were able to take a guy who learned at the Machon, yeah. A guy, I mean, he's still in touch with us, he got married recently. So his father, he put two and two together, and they saw. They were able to see how the body reacts to certain, I don't remember if it was pig or lobster, some non-kosher animal. So it's logically, we would also say that, being that our bodies haven't tasted non-kosher food, so our system is going to be a little different because of that. And that's just one example. So that's why it's a little difficult to say, well, if someone says the truth, accept it. Because even within truths, there can be nuances.
Just
I think it was first, yeah.
I heard that the study of non-Jewish philosophy in this case, the Rambam allowed it from a verse in Yov saying, from my flesh I see God.
There is such a verse. I don't know that was the Rambam's source.
Because
I don't know.
Maybe I misunderstood it, but I think it has something to do with to study a person is when you know a person and everything to do with a person, then you understand God.
That's also true, but that doesn't necessarily permit us to study philosophy. That's a different question. That would be studying science and medicine and biology and maybe chemistry. But
I heard it also applied to this on this Aristotle part. Just
mentioned. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. Yeah.
How do we then, to you, in light of what Ram said, the idea, how do we understand that I would accept truth from everywhere? Well, there's a certain distinction that you should study wisdom of the non-Jews, but not Torah.
I'm sorry. I don't know of a source for what you're saying. The Gemara says, "Chokhma bagoyim ta'amin." If someone tells you there's wisdom among non-Jews, so then that's true. There is wisdom among non-Jews. Torah bagoyim. If someone tells you the non-Jews have developed a religion that's equal to the Torah, they've developed a way of life that's as good as the Torah, al ta'amin. It's not true. There's nothing that comes close to it. That it says. Someone tells you. It doesn't say you should go study their chokhmah. It says.
It was explained to us differently.
Yeah, I was under the impression that meaning that, like, if they come out with a work on some secular topic like science, and you could leave it. There's nothing. But if they say, if they start saying.
What I said, I think, is the way Rashi says it. I think Rashi says over there. Im yomar lecha adam. I think Rashi adds those words. I think I don't have the Gemara in front of me, but that's what I remember from Rashi. Bezrat Hashem na chavrusa Yeshua, we'll get there. It's a Gemara in Megillah. Okay.